Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And joining us right now in studio, Grammy Award winner, Academy Award winner, Melissa Etheridge, who has a new album out, The Medicine Show. It's out on Friday on iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, and Spotify. And one of the reasons we're so excited to have her here is that we have found the only person in the world who's a bigger Patrick Mahomes fan than Boomer Esiason. Melissa, thanks for being here. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, what a pleasure. I'm very good and happy to be here.
It's so great that you came in here and that you are a sports fan. And I know this because you and I were just discussing all the different national anthems that you have done. Now, you did the Kansas City playoff game before the Indianapolis Colts, or was it before the Patriots?
Oh, that was the Patriots. That was heartbreaker of a game. So cold, too.
I was going to say, what was that like going out there in front of your brethren there out in Kansas City and Arrowhead Stadium singing the national anthem?
Arrowhead Stadium is just special to begin with. I mean, it's older, but it is, I mean, it is so beloved there in Kansas City and the whole area. And just, you know, the national anthem, to begin with, you go out there. If you mess up the national anthem, I mean, that never leaves you. It will follow you forever. So there's a certain nervousness. But just to be a part of such an important game, such a game that we had high hopes, but still we had not been that far since, you know, 1970.
You have real skin in the game.
Yes.
Is what you have, because you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan. But was there ever a more important national anthem to be sung than Game 6 between the Yankees and Diamondbacks? And
2001.
Of 2001 and what that felt like.
Yeah, it was in October. It was just after 9/11. And that was, it was in Phoenix. And just the way the whole country felt, and every time you would sing the national anthem and sort of the pain we were going through and the healing we were trying to accomplish, and then, you know, then being in Phoenix with the Diamondbacks, who had never, you know, been that far before, it was beautiful. And actually, Senator McCain, I remember seeing him in the bleachers at that time, and he gave me a wink and a nod, and it was just that was a beautiful, beautiful time. And the next day, the next night, I was playing there right next to the stadium. And that was when, do you remember, it came down to like the last inning.
And it started to rain a little bit. The roof open and
so
everything.
So I couldn't make people come in and watch my show while we were watching, while they were waiting at the end. So I put it up on a screen. Sorry, Major League Baseball.
Major heartbreak. But listen, heartbreak for
New York.
For Yankee fans.
Yes,
here,
indeed.
Yes.
So sorry, folks. But it was amazing to be in Phoenix at that time.
So how do you explain your longevity in the business? Is it just basically you say it's the music that stands the test of time? I mean, I've been listening to your stuff for decades now. And it's funny. Yesterday, I say to my wife, I say, all right, we're having an unorthodox non-sports guest on tomorrow. Mm. I said, you can ask me two questions to figure out who it is. So she goes, all right, well, what genre? I say, music. And she goes, all right, male or female? I go, female. She goes, Melissa Etheridge.
Yay!
And I was like, how the hell did you get that in two questions? She's like, well, I know she's a sports fan. I figured that would work. So, I mean, you're still on top of mind. That's not easy to do in this industry. So how do you explain it?
No, but I would rather have it than have like a one big huge hit, because I've been doing this since I was very, very young. I've been singing, in country western bands in Kansas, you know, in the 70s when I was in high school. And I learned how to do it from an entertainment point of view. I learned to be an entertainer, not just someone people come to see, watch, sing their songs, but someone who entertains them. And so that's always been up front in my, you know, purpose. And I made my first record in 88, didn't have huge hit until 93 or 94. So it's been this kind of long road, and that's good. And I think people know now you can still come to a show of mine and you will hear the hits. You will be entertained. It's good music. And that's the brand that I wish, you know, to put forth. And so I guess it's been working.
I could say from a fan standpoint, this, we all appreciate that, because there's nothing worse than going to see somebody and then they're not playing the hits.
Yeah.
Oh. And of course, they're trying to sell a new record, which I think is important too. But
that's,
you also got to bring people back.
Oh, you got it. And to me, all my life, you know, before I was like, what would it be like if I just started a song and everyone knew what it was? That's magic. And so every time I start coming to my window, you know,
everybody gets into it.
Yes, yeah.
Something I always think about when you mention Come to My Window or a big hit, I hear other artists say, man, it's exciting and people like it, but boy, am I tired of playing that song. And I could never understand that because of what you just said, that when you got thousands and thousands of people, you start the song, they're excited about it. Do you ever experience that, like, maybe we don't do this one tonight just because?
No, that would break my heart, because I know that there's, see, to me, you go do a show in a city and that might be the only time that most of those people ever come to see me. And they want to go home remembering, oh, she played my favorite song. And I mean, why miss an opportunity like that? Just because I'm bored of it? You know, it's every time I start the song and get into it, you know, I love it. So I just try to stay on that
What's
side.
What's it like when you're playing in front of 500,000 people at a festival?
At Woodstock.
Yeah, what's that like?
It's almost impossible, because I couldn't see we were talking about Woodstock. I couldn't see the end of the crowd. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't see people's reaction. And it was actually, I felt really, really small. It's almost too much.
Talking to Melissa Etheridge in studio with us on The Fan. Her new album, The Medicine Show, is out on Friday. I was just telling our producer, Al Dukes, because you handed us a CD. I don't think I've held a CD in like 10 years. It's so cool to like be like, man, I just got a brand new CD.
You know, it's a great story. You know, it's a great story about the CD aspect of all this. She got started. I was reading that you had the 8-track tapes from Columbia.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I was in the 70s, and I remember buying... because we had one record store in Leavenworth, Kansas, and it was, you know, I had to ride my bicycle, you know, hours to get there. So this Columbia Records, where you could order 10 records or buy one or whatever.
And it just kept coming.
You realized, oh, this isn't going to stop unless I stop it. It went from 8-track, then cassette. I remember my first album was put out on cassette and vinyl. And then by the end of the cycle of my first album, CDs were out, and then it was all changed. And now, what is it? It's just
right now we're back to buy, but we're also back
vinyl's
to vinyl
coming
now.
Back.
Yes.
I know. I'm selling a lot of vinyl. It's cool. I dig that.
So what's the process with this new album as opposed to earlier in your career? Is it harder or easier to find that creativity and the voice that you want when you put out something like this?
Oh, I think it's easier because I'm more confident. You know, you get in your 50s and you're like, I'm not going to sweat the small stuff anymore, you know?
I hear you.
You hear me. And it's like, no, I'm just going to, I have had enough experience where I realize when I do what I love, when I do what excites me and what I feel, you know, I'm speaking for myself and I'm playing rock and roll and this is fun. That's when the fans love me. That's what they want. I mean, I can try to get all, I mean, I've gone off and done different things, and that's all fun to do, but it's so good to come back to songs and songwriting and just present it and go into the studio and play with a live band, put it down. That's what I do.
You know, I think about one of your more memorable performances was the Grammys in 2005.
Oh, yeah.
And you came out on stage. You were bald.
I was bald.
And you just fought through breast cancer.
Yeah.
And you were out there and you were just showing everybody that you can overcome this. And I remember the response that you were getting from the people in the audience, and the standing ovation just seemed like it was going on and on and on. But, you know, you were an inspiration to so many women, especially women around here in New York. We have a very high incidence of breast cancer out on Long Island specifically. Yeah. So how has that changed your life?
Oh, that it was the biggest change in my life. It was a time where I realized, oh, my life, my running, my trying to hold on to some sort of number one something, you know, that wasn't what it was all about, that I needed to get in touch with my own spirit, my own reason for living, my stress levels, my physical health, all those things just came really into focus. And after that, my career has been so it's been satisfying. You know, I'm no longer chasing or being hurt or comparing myself to other people. And I tell you, the brotherhood and sisterhood of cancer, people that have been going through it, I mean, there's way too many of us, you know, going through this. And I get very, I have a real desire to bring sort of an understanding of our own health and the things that we can do to have our own responsibility of health and understand that, yes, there are environmental factors, there are, you know, genetic factors, all that, but there's a lot that we can do to, you know, not be overcome by this disease.
You talk about the, for lack of a better term, awakening that you have after you go through something like that. Is it hard to sustain that? Because I feel like people who have an event in their life like that, when they first come out of it, they're like, oh, man, I'm going to appreciate everything. But then maybe 5-10 years down the road when things are back to normal, they forget about that. Has it been easy to sustain that mentality for you?
You know, it's funny. When I was just coming out of it, like you said, I'd been on chemotherapy. I'd been away from humanity for months. I felt like I was a monk that was up, you know, on a hill, you know, meditating. And I'd come back to society, and I knew, I said, there's going to be a time when this is going to be far away from me and I'm going to be back and all that stuff. And I want to be able to hold on to it. And yes, it's something, it's a practice. I tell people, you know, I'm never getting this done. I'm never like, well, here I am, perfect, you know, spiritual person. It's a practice every day of making a choice in my mind. What am I going to think? I'm going to think the more positive things. I'm going to believe and assume the best and expect kindness and expect, you know, this goodness. And that helps me every day.
Talking to Melissa Etheridge, we have a surprise for you today.
Is he here? No.
No.
He went to the basketball game.
Is not
no,
here. Okay, instead, I present you this very skinny radio producer that's going to walk in. So he's going to come in here. Now, we've been working on something, me and Al Dukes, our producer, and we you know, we want to branch out into different things.
Uh-oh, now I'm scared.
Yes, you should be.
And we decided we wanted to start playing and performing music out. Live.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. So we want to start at maybe a coffee shop across the street, whatever. Mm. So
these two.
So, yes. Okay. No, no, Boomer's over here just as afraid as I am.
Yes.
Boomer's not going to play. There's a guitar, too. Yes. Wow. I'm really kind of afraid.
You should be.
Okay.
You should be. But we figured that, you know, people lie to us when we play the songs. They say, oh, you guys are good. So we want you to be honest. You
know,
if we're good enough to be able to go out.
This is, okay. Hold my hand. I'm not sure whether Boomer's holding my hand.
All right, okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to play Come to My Window.
Oh, right. Gosh, okay.
And, thank you.
I don't like having somebody butcher your song.
No.
And Al is going to sing. I'll play the guitar.
Oh, right.
And Boomer backup vocals, I guess?
No.
No, but
I'm just going to sit here like in utter silence.
He's a bit horrified. Okay.
Let me know when I jump in.
That's right.
Here we go. I would dial the numbers just to listen to your breath.
Oh.
I would stand inside my hell and hold the hand of death.
My goodness.
You don't know how far I'd go to ease this precious ache.
Uh-huh.
You don't know how much I'd give or how much I can take just to reach you. Just to reach you.
Oh.
Oh, to reach you.
Oh.
Come to my window.
Window throwing.
Crawl inside. Wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window.
Window throwing.
I'll be home soon.
I'll be home. I'm coming home.
That was my own. That's all I got.
You know what she wants to know? Who keeps saying window thrower? That's all she wants to know.
Oh, that's our afternoon guy.
Yeah, that's a little drop that we like to put in.
Did you like practice that and everything?
Once.
One time.
We did it once.
Usually I come on and I sing, and that's really interesting. That's never happened to me before where someone else has sang.
Do you want to do the second verse?
No.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, I'll do the second verse.
That's what I mean.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Right. Oh, I'll do the second verse.
Two.
All right, perfect.
Four.
Keeping my eyes open, I cannot afford to sleep. Grimmin though, now I forgot you've got me so crazy, I don't even know my second verse.
Giving away promises.
Nothing fills the blackness that has seeped into my chest. I need you in my blood, I am forsaking all the rest. Just to reach you. Just to reach you. Oh, to reach you. Yeah, Patrick. Patrick Mahomes. Come to my window.
Window thrower. What?
Window, what does he say?
Window thrower. He's a window thrower.
He's a window thrower.
I can throw two windows.
Oh, he's...
Yes.
Thank
goes,
you.
No,
I'm done. That was
that's
just good. That. I'm really...
That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you for cleaning that mess up. I appreciate it.
Now I'm gonna come. I'm gonna come back, and I'm gonna like do sports things like that you, would
should.
Do. I'm going to give analysis and things.
Yeah, why not? I think you're very good at it. Now, do you expect your Kansas City Chiefs to make it to the Super Bowl this year?
I expect that.
Yes, you do. Don't you?
You have to.
I gotta imagine that people out in Kansas City just absolutely love Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, they love.
Did you watch the basketball this week?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. I watched it because he was there.
Yeah,
it's like, look at him. It was it was so exciting. He's such a good guy.
It seems like
it's perfect for the Chiefs. Kansas City is it's a very wholesome kind of Midwestern place. And you know, we're all watching with biting our fingernails saying, okay, we have no defense right now. And we're going, oh my God, what's going
to
happen?
Defense, draft and all that other stuff, maybe a couple of free agents. But I always said that it was one of the greatest places to play a football game, even as a visiting player.
Oh.
You know, that everybody was pretty well behaved, except for when they were throwing snowballs at somebody.
Well, then,
or shooting, what are they shooting, lasers now or something?
Yes, lasers.
Oh, we were so disappointed.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that's not us.
They actually got that guy. I think they arrested him.
They did, yeah.
And he's here now. Let's bring him in right now.
Is he going to sing too? Okay.
Once again, The Medicine Show is out, and it's this Friday, actually. It's this Friday, so a couple of days. iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, and Spotify. I'm assuming you don't think that we have a future Al and me playing live anywhere?
Don't quit your day job.
Okay.
Saying.
Al almost got fired yesterday, so this is why.
On the window thrower.
Yeah, by that guy. Yeah.
The window thrower.
So he almost fired Al.
If I say that tonight, is that going to be funny? Or
yeah,
tomorrow?
Yes.
It will be to us. It was great having you here. It really was a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure.
That was a thrill to be able to play the guitar while you were singing, so that was a very, very cool moment. And best of luck with the new album, and I know it'll do great.
Thank you so much. Go Chiefs!
Yes, I like it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.